You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Yeah, gentlemen, this is episode number 24 of the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. Today I have a very special treat for you. We're going completely off the board into something completely different. With me today is a gentleman who has pretty much set himself apart as the sex advisor to the seduction community. And that's for good reason. This guy is the kind of guy you'd probably want to have a beer with. He can talk about how to make you a hero in the bedroom better than anybody I've ever met. Certainly on the level, not either too clinical or too militantly sex positive and stuff like that. Just absolutely straightforward, down to earth. His name's Alex Allman. He's from New York. And Alex, how the heck are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. It's great to be back.
Cool. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you said it's great to be back. We've had you on Virtuosity before, and that is probably one of the most popular Virtuosity segments. We actually had two of them. One where you teach guys ways that they can be better with the women in their life in the bedroom, and another one all about how to give women full body squirting orgasms, which was a real blast to do. No pun intended.
Yeah, well, if the guys out there could see me, they would see that I was tipping my hat. Glad to have done those, and this should be a lot of fun. So
yeah,
let's hit it, man.
Yeah, it's no pun intended once again. And this is just going to be replete with sexual innuendos, I'm sure. Yeah, we'll just get through it. We'll muddle through it. Yeah, looking forward to this because I think a lot of times guys really want to get sexual with women. They want to get really physical with women, and then they get to that point and they go, "Man, all of that anticipation for this." I'm like not enjoying this at all. I'm not comfortable with the situation. Once again, guys are saying, what do I do next? How common is it, Alex, for guys to get to where the chips are down with women and start feeling that anxiety?
Well, you know, it's pretty much every guy, especially when they're more inexperienced. And I don't want to place labels on anybody, but a good portion of my audience are married guys. Mm-hmm. And they come at this from a totally different experience than the seduction community. A lot of the guys in the seduction community are at the point, and obviously not all of them, some of them are extremely advanced in what they're doing, but a lot of them are coming at this from, okay, now I've gotten to the point where I've got phone numbers, now I've gotten to the point where I've got dates, now I've gotten to the point where, yeah, she wants to see me second and third dates, and now I'm in the bedroom. And at that level, anxiety is universal, and certainly the first couple of times that you're making love to a woman, if you just get through it, you're pretty much feeling good about yourself.
That's probably pretty true. And I resisted the temptation to have yet another sexual innuendo when he said, when it comes down to it.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just agree together. Anytime the word come comes up in this conversation, I won't do the Beavis and Butthead reference.
I was just going to go.
He said, yeah, come. Yeah. Exactly. All right. So we'll be mature about this. And, I have a question tied to that. What happens typically when a guy is really nervous that first time he's getting naked with a woman like that? Where does that anxiety usually hit him, and what can he do about it?
Well, usually what ends up happening is that guys enter a sexual situation with a woman putting their game face on. So they've sort of gone through this process where they did all of these things to get the date, to get to the bedroom, to get the clothing off that was presenting themselves maybe a little cooler than they are, maybe a little more macho. Most guys don't approach a sexual situation with a woman saying, you know, I'm not really that experienced, and I was wondering if you could do me a favor and maybe show me breasts. I mean, that's not where they're coming
from. Not going to happen.
Yeah, but somewhere inside, for a lot of men, not all, but for a lot of men, that's really what's going on. They're really kind of full of nervous energy and anxiety, and they've kind of made it harder on themselves. They've made it worse on themselves by trying to portray themselves as this macho guy who has a lot of experience. And now, as they get closer and closer to having sex, their attention is totally focused on the fact that they are about to be exposed, literally, not just, you know, exposing their penis and whether it's big enough and all weird stuff that goes through your head, but am I going to perform okay? Am I going to last long enough? Will I be able to get it up? And that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. As soon as they start thinking that, they're in the land of anxiety. And anxiety is, well, pretty much the worst thing you can do in terms of enjoying the sexual experience for yourself, in terms of giving her a good sexual experience. Anxiety is the place you don't want to be. But let's face it, that's where a lot of guys end up. Not all, but a lot of guys end up there. And it's just simple. You know, you can only hold on to one thought at a time in your mind. And if the thought you're holding on to is, oh, geez, I hope she doesn't realize I'm inexperienced. I hope I do okay. If that's the thought in your head, well, then obviously what you're not thinking about is, wow, she's hot. Obviously what you're not thinking about is, God, she smells great. What you're not thinking about is, man, her skin is soft. And those are the things you should be thinking about if you intend to have an erection, you know? So the wall most men hit up against is performance anxiety, you know? And they're thinking, what's wrong with me? And as soon as they notice that they don't have a hard-on, it doesn't make any sense to them, because if they see a naked girl on their computer screen, they're hard within 5 seconds. But now there's this naked girl with them, and they've been kissing this naked girl for like 10 minutes, and they're not getting hard. And the reason is because they're not engaged in the moment. They're not present with her. They're just thinking about all kinds of other stuff. And it's, you know, it can be a pretty tenacious problem for some men.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys are probably thinking, okay, here I am. Like you said, Alex, I've got to make sure I perform here or she won't like me. I've got to make sure I can get it up. What if I mess up is what guys are thinking. They're not able to get outside their own heads, are they?
No. I mean, it's so funny because, well, I'll just say this as something that I think is a very good prescription for getting over this problem, but it's also just something that every guy needs to know in order to be more comfortable sexually, in order to be better in bed, and in order to just be an all-around better guy, a guy that women are going to say, that was a great date, or that was a great sexual experience. And that's to kind of take the second perspective for a minute, the second-person perspective being her perspective, and understand that as nervous as you are, she's more nervous. You just can't tell. When a guy is nervous, he doesn't get an erection, or he prematurely ejaculates, or all these other things that are just physically obvious. But for a woman, there's nothing so physically obvious. When she's nervous, she'll still lubricate. In fact, she may lubricate more. So there's no outward sign that she's scared out of her mind, but there's a lot at stake for her, a lot at stake. And women are very, very insecure. Men, we're judged societally and socially on so many different things, you know, whether you're a great athlete, whether you're good looking, whether you're strong, whether you're funny. A funny guy gets a lot of stuff. If you got courage, people get points for that. If you make a lot of money, that's cool. So there's all these things that men get judged on, but nobody gives a shit if women make a lot of money. And nobody cares if a woman has a great sense of humor. They really don't. She doesn't get any social value out of that. Sure, it's fun, but she gets no social value out of it. Women get social value out of their sexual attractiveness. And when her shirt comes off, all she's thinking about is the fact that one of her breasts is larger than the other. Because every woman is asymmetrical, and we don't see it, but it's all they see. Just like when you have a pimple on your face, that's all you see in the mirror. And, of course, your friends don't even notice it. They don't give a shit. It's the same situation. Her sexual value is on the line now. And she's worried that she doesn't smell right. She's worried she doesn't look right. She's got all of this anxiety in her head. And you're sitting there worried, will I perform well enough? Like she cares. Like she cares. This is her first time in bed with you. She's delighted if she can get through it without embarrassment. And the one thing she wants more than anything else is just for you to be attentive, calm, cool, be able to guide her without making things weird, no nervous laughter. You know, I mean, if you can get past that stuff, she's going to tell her friends you were the greatest thing ever. As it turns out, most men suck in bed. The bar is set very low. Just a very few things can really make you into like this incredible experience for her. And it's not a big deal. It's so much more important to just focus on enjoying the experience and tuning into her body and just kind of being aware of just the beauty of what it is to touch a girl and to be with her and to, you know, feel her breath on your face. And if you're not focused on that, and you're probably not, you're missing out on it. I mean, you're losing out on, you know, you worked so hard to get her into bed. It's such a shame to be worried about your performance when you could be just eating her up, just enjoying the moment. And if you can do that, she's not going to care how fast you come. She's not going to care about how big you are. She's not going to care if you do some secret technique because it's your first time together. All she cares about is that you guys kind of connect and have some chemistry. And, man, there is no chemistry if you can't just bridge that gap and become present with her and just really dig her, you know, just really dig her and let her know, like, wow, you smell good. You know, that's going to go so much further than, you know, some weird technique that you try on her.
Yeah, you know, there's several things there that I'd love to comment on because they're just so poignant. First of all, it sounds to me like you're doing a lot of commentary on this whole fact that guys work so hard to get a woman in bed and then they don't have any fun once they get her there. It's like work and stress, not enjoyment. And of course you're not going to get a hard-on. Of course you're not going to perform when that happens. And then when that doesn't happen, you're talking about this woman who is just as nervous, if not more, than the guy is. She's going to blame herself. And meanwhile, the guy's saying, well, I can't perform. She's going to only be thinking, well, I got naked with him, and he didn't even get a hard-on. What's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes if a guy just puts that into perspective, he'll relax a little bit more, thinking, you know, it's not going to be his manhood or his power at stake, but, you know, she's going to be taking it personally. She won't blame him.
Right.
And then the other thing you mentioned, of course, was this woman getting naked in front of you for the first time and being very self-conscious about her body. You know, Alex, a lot of times in the seduction community, guys are told don't compliment a woman, and they're told get over your approach anxiety. Well, what guys, I think, ought to know, and you can feel free to disagree or agree with this, but my impression is that when a woman gets naked with a guy for the first time, that is her anxiety moment. Whereas a guy is like, you know, fearing rejection when he talks to a woman for the first time. When a woman says, okay, I'm going to make myself vulnerable and take my clothes off for this guy, knowing that guys are visually pleased by women who are beautiful, she's thinking, okay, is he going to accept me or reject me? And if a guy has been trained and fed this line from the seduction community that says, oh, don't be needy, don't be clingy, don't compliment a woman too much, and he takes that literally and doesn't compliment a woman when she actually is naked in front of him, I think he's making a huge mistake. That's when you need to tell that woman she looks beautiful if you expect to even begin to take care of her in the bedroom.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I have so many problems with the whole seduction community thing. There's an essential problem, an essential paradox with the entire seduction community, which is basically making this thing into a strategized game where the goal is the pussy. Mm. And they always are talking in terms of, okay, disarm the obstacle, or right. There's my target. And these are like, you know, military terms. Like here's my wingman, you know? You're making this person your enemy.
Exactly.
And really from a very early age, we kind of have this situation with men and women where men learn that she's kind of the thing you've got to get around to get to the pussy. Well, guess what? That's really not the case. The object is not to get to the pussy. The object is to forge a relationship with a human being. And as long as you use words like targets and obstacles, you're fucked. I mean, your ability to have an emotionally mature relationship is gone. And so, yeah, you might get very good at getting phone numbers. You might get very good at getting dates. You might get very good at seducing women and fucking them. But, man, I mean, if that's your total goal, I guess, hey, more power to you. But most men will get a lot more pleasure out of having a woman fall in love with you and you fall in love with her. And when you find that woman that really, you know, just blows you away. I mean, she's just so wonderful and you're just crazy about her, and then she feels the same way about you. I mean, that's a magic, magic feeling, and these guys are cutting themselves off from that. So I think just from the get-go, they've sort of sabotaged themselves.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think if you're looking at women as the adversary instead of a partner, instead of someone you can have a partnership with, don't expect women to be all that excited about having a sexual relationship with you. I mean, they're following your lead. You know, if you're being standoffish with a woman because she's an obstacle to getting to the pussy, like you said, well, then she's not going to be excited about giving it to you. That's where guys start coming up with things like, okay, women give it up and I get lucky because the prize is this woman's sexuality. Well, you know, you show me a guy who believes like that, and I've said it before, he's going to have a lot of quote-unquote dead lays. Because the women, if they just are doing anything to keep a guy in their life, they'll just spread their legs and kind of sigh and go, okay, tell me when it's over. Because all the guy's doing is using her. It's just like a guy getting used for lobster dinners and, you know, an ATM machine from a woman who's considered a gold digger. But if he can appreciate that woman and, you know, enjoy how she smells and enjoy all aspects of igniting femininity, then he's in for a great time, and so is she. And, man, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. You said so many things that I resonate with.
Well, let me take it to kind of the next step, which is, you know, a lot of men, by the way, don't, they say, well, not me, I don't feel that way, but, you know, they do, secretly they do. And what ends up happening is, of course, a lot of times women are using you for sex too. And you,
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. And, you know, she may get drunk and horny, and she sees you as a guy who is probably lying to her to get her into bed. You know, women are pretty sensitive to this kind of thing. So if you're a pickup artist and you do this a lot, you probably know that a lot of women are thinking, okay, yeah, this is not boyfriend material, and she may be using you just like you're using her. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? Consenting adults, I got no problem with it. And if you're a marathon man and, you know, a big stud, and she may even have good sex, but that's a million miles away from great sex. That's a million miles away from brag to her friends the next day, or, you know, really like, I'll do anything to keep this guy into my life because he has just shown me something I didn't even know I was capable of. You know, there's a level of pleasure that women can experience sexually that they never experience through masturbation alone. And I don't think men really relate to that. I think we're like, wow, you know, I have this great orgasm when I masturbate, and it's great to have an orgasm with a woman. But, you know, they have a different level, another level beyond that very few men ever experience. And it really does have to do with being able to build sexual trust and intimacy and allowing her to sort of fall back into a surrender. And obviously there's a lot more detail to this. But the basic principle, I mean, the thing that'll just set you apart from any other guy out there is to sort of get out of your own head and get into her, just become present with her. So, you know, we talked a little bit about this idea that there are guys who have so much anxiety that they can't even get an erection. And I don't think, I mean, it's common, but it's probably not most guys. Most guys, you know, they manage to get an erection, they manage to get there. And the way they manage to do it, ultimately, as they're getting more excited, is to fall back into their own head and sort of insulate themselves from the sexual experience that they're having. They're actually going all the way in the opposite direction and revisiting some pornographic image that really turned them on. The last time they jerked off is probably the image that they're going to call forward. And they're sort of picking bits and pieces and parts of her body that turn them on. Maybe they're just really into tits, and she's got big tits, and so they're just micro-focused on that. And again, they're not really making love to a woman. They're sort of finding a part that they're into. And what happens is there's sort of this curtain that falls down between you, and you're sort of in your head pulling sexual pleasure out of this experience if you can, and she's sort of in her head, you know, getting laid, which is scary and exciting, and, you know, she's probably drunk if it's the first time you're together. You probably had a couple of drinks, though not necessarily. And, you know, there's this whole sort of thing going on where we're both sort of masturbating with each other in the room. That's really what's going on. We're rubbing our genitals together. And if a guy can get past that and he can just really dig her and get tuned into her and the experience, and like I said, just be open to the whole experience of the woman, her smell, the feeling of her breath, the sound she makes, the muscle tension in her body, all of those great things. Just really get present with her. Look into her eyes and smile and sort of engage with this other person while they're making love. She'll have an experience like very likely that she's never had with another man. And that's the crazy thing. Even if she's been in a relationship with another guy for 2 years, it's possible that she's never had that experience with him that she could have with you. If you could just break through that barrier. And it's hard. It takes a lot of courage.
Man, what you're talking about sounds so bass-ackwards, you know, the dysfunctional part of it. And the great part of it sounds just so deep and exciting, you know, like something we'd all like to have happen with a woman, preferably as often as possible. And yet, I know so many of us can relate to that first part. I mean, having to go back and dig up a pornographic image so you can get excited about the actual living, breathing woman that's in front of you, man, that's something you better never admit to her. But I'm telling you, it happens. Guys really do feel this way. They have to get there because, yeah, you have to insulate yourself from this massive, pressure we put on ourselves. And I love how you put it. We have to go all the way backwards and dig up something that did sexually turn us on vis-a-vis this real life situation. And then look at the opposite. I mean, a lot of guys are hearing what you're saying, and it sounds so romanticized about giving this woman this incredible experience while you're with her. But if we could just start enjoying this woman and forgetting about everything that's going on in our own head, all of our own anxieties and insecurities, and just helping her enjoy the moment and believe that's going to be sufficient for her, which I think is what you're really hammering home here, I think we'd be on to something. And I think it's so completely different and flipped over from what we've been taught as guys to value, that if you can be one of those guys who can ignite femininity like that and really appreciate her and put her first, you're going to start getting the sexual rewards that you always want. Why? Here's what I think. Tell me what you think, Alex. Because women follow your lead. And if you're leading by focusing on her and getting what she wants, that woman's going to respond by saying, wow, look at this guy. Look what he's doing for me. Look how he's making me feel. I want to sexually satisfy him too. And that's where you get the women who do the little pole dances for you. You know, they'll give you oral sex the way you want it. They'll ride you instead of laying there. That's when you get these women who act like the little porn stars you want them to be, because you freed them up to feel appreciated, rather than women who are just saying, you know, how soon can I get this over with?
Yeah, of course I totally agree, but, you know, the interesting thing again is how low the barrier is. You guys think this is complicated. It's so simple.
Really.
Women want to do all that stuff. They're dying to do all that stuff. They fantasize about doing that stuff. All you really need to do is show her that you accept her, and you probably won't judge her or make it weird.
Make her comfortable.
Because, yeah. I mean, when you're uncomfortable, of course she's uncomfortable, and now all those things that she secretly wishes she could do, the pole dances, the everything. I mean, women, they want to do every kinky thing you can imagine. They love that stuff just as much as we do, the vast majority of them. And all you really need to do, honestly, is win their trust a little bit by not being weird. Don't weird them out. Don't be creepy. And that sort of begins with just being accepting of them, being able to have enough integrity to be open and honest, communicate like a real person, and stop trying to be such a badass and just focus in on her and just allow yourself to enjoy it and be a little bit authentic. When you're a little bit authentic, it allows her to be a little bit authentic, and suddenly you're vibing. Suddenly everything is just working, and she feels like, yeah, I can get as nasty as I want to, and he's not going to laugh at me or think I'm weird or think I'm crude or judge me in the morning.
You know, here's a harsh reality that some guys have to face, and it's going to be a real wake-up call for some of the guys in this audience to hear this. But guys, one man's dead lay is going to be the next guy's porn star, possibly. Mm-hmm. If the first guy could not enthrall that woman, could not get it done in terms of getting outside of his own head and making that woman feel comfortable with him sexually, doesn't mean there's not going to be another guy who can come along and get that job done and lead effectively and take care of her in the way that's going to really ignite that femininity and make her want to be just a sexual vixen in the bedroom. And it's the same woman.
Right. It's so important, without trying to blow my own horn or be Mr. Ego, it's really important to point out that I get emails from guys every single day who said, wow, man, your stuff worked. Mm-hmm. I did what you told me to do in your newsletter, pretty much what I'm talking about right here. And the girl that I was with, she's had 10 guys before me. And as far as she was concerned, she told me when we first started dating that she can't have an orgasm. That she simply, it's something she can't do. She's tried vibrators. She's been with 10 guys. One guy she was with had a 10-inch penis, and he could go 5 hours. And she's never had an orgasm. And she told me that when we started dating. Well, I did a couple of things that you told me, and she had orgasms all night long. She screamed her head off, and then afterwards cried her eyes out because she couldn't believe that this happened. And, you know, it's not that hard. That's the funny truth. It's not that hard. And, yeah, it doesn't hurt to know where the clitoris is. I mean, you should know that, and you should have some basic understanding of how you want to go about stimulating that little guy. And the big trick to the clitoris, of course, just to make sure we cover all the bases, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to hide anything, is that every woman is different. Some women are so sensitive that direct contact with the clitoris will just send them yowling and jumping out of bed. And other women like very firm, direct contact on the clitoris. And the only way you're going to find out who she is to tune in, is to vibe in, is to sort of pay attention and work your way slowly towards it and feel her muscle tension, feel when it's working, feel when that energy is there, and just stick with that. And then, you know, she'll have a clitoral orgasm. It's not rocket science, but it's not something that you can just say, oh, do this and it works, because every woman is different. And particularly when it comes to clitoral stimulation. So I think, you know, every guy should know that. And I think every guy should have control over his ejaculation. He should be able to get an erection and keep an erection for long enough to have her enjoy sex. You know, women like getting laid. They like being pounded hard. They like all those things that are masculine and that you do to them. So, you know, you want these basic skills for sure, but that isn't what makes great in bed. That's just the beginning. That's sort of the entry level stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what I've noticed is that women can actually enjoy a different experience of clitoral stimulation as they get warmed up.
Oh, yeah.
It can evolve even in one scenario with the same woman.
Yeah, night to night, hour to hour, minute to minute, and as she gets more and less turned on, it's a whole crazy thing. In fact, if she's not turned on enough, try an experiment. If she's not turned on at all, go up to your girlfriend and just kind of diddle her clitoris and watch her scream with laughter. It's the most ticklish thing imaginable. Totally unpleasant. Totally unpleasant when she's not aroused. And as she gets aroused, of course, everything changes.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. We've got a voicemail here from Russell in the UK. It goes just like this. Listen in.
Hi Scott, I've been listening to your Chick Whisperer podcast, absolutely loving it. I'm calling from the United Kingdom, as you might be able to tell from my accent. If you use this question, you could call me by my real name, which is Russell. And I'm just going to jump right in here with my question. I don't know if you will be able to cover this. It's a sexually based question of that nature, so I don't know whether you'd have a guest on, or maybe yourself you'd be able to answer, but I've been looking for information about this subject on the internet everywhere, and I can't really find anything about it. And that is basically that when I'm having sex with a woman, it takes me a long time for me to reach orgasm. I'm pleased to say that the women I'm with seem to be able to get there, but the problem is, you might say it's a bit of a quality problem, and it's much better to be that way than be too quick, but I found that the women I'm with see it as a failure on their part, and especially when they're not able to please me in that way orally or any other way. You know, it takes me easily 45 minutes to an hour, and sometimes it feels really forced. And so any help on that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
All right, now there's something you don't hear every day, right, Alex? He's got a problem actually ejaculating too late. I mean, a lot of guys have a problem with premature ejaculation, but my man Russell, he can go for, I guess, forever, and he almost feels like he has to force himself to ejaculate. Does this have anything to do with that whole concept of him having some performance anxiety or having a need to get out of his head some?
Well,
what is it? What's going on?
Well, Scott and Russell, here's the deal. Believe it or not, it's not that uncommon. I get this question approximately once a day, and I get the opposite question, how do I last longer, probably about 10 times a day. So I guess it's probably 10 times less common than the opposite, but it's not unheard of. Most of the guys who are having this problem are younger than me. Let's just say that they grew up on internet porn the vast majority of the time. And what's going on is they've trained themselves to not particularly appreciate women. Now, this might not be the case for every guy, and there is some reason to believe that there are brain hormones that can affect this. If your serotonin level is very, very high, it can be difficult to ejaculate. But then it'll be just as difficult to ejaculate when you're alone, and that doesn't sound like Russell's problem. So people who are on certain antidepressants, SSRIs like Prozac and that kind of thing, they may find it difficult to have an orgasm. By the way, same thing that happens, I'm sure that none of your listeners do recreational drugs, but just in case some of them do recreational drugs, they may be aware that when they take ecstasy, MDMA, that it's very, very difficult to ejaculate. For the same reason, just too much serotonin in their system. So let's assume for the moment that that's not the situation with Russell, because if he's able to ejaculate with masturbation but not with women, It's simply because he doesn't prefer women. He doesn't prefer them. It's just not as arousing for him. And that's one of the victimization syndromes that's happening from guys that grew up on pornography. So this is going to get maybe a little bit out there and really, this is cutting edge science, really. I mean, nobody's studying the long-term effects of growing up with pornography, but because of my special position as a guy that gives sex advice and receiving all these emails, I've developed some pretty serious theories around this, and I've interviewed an awful lot of these men, and here's what's going on. Back in the old days, like, say, when I was a teenager and there wasn't internet pornography.
Like 1993.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Boys had their first sexual pleasure experiences not involving any kind of imagery at all. In fact, it might and often didn't involve any kind of fantasy at all involving women. It just involved touching themselves. It just involved the penis. It just involved, whoa, crazy sensations happen when I touch this thing, and now it's hard, and I'm feeling all this stuff when I'm touching myself, and that's really crazy, and it makes me feel a little weird, and I hope nobody figures out that I'm doing this, but it feels kind of good. And so their earliest sexual feelings have nothing to do with women at all, and certainly nothing to do with images of women. That gets connected later. But what's happening now is guys, you know, they're 6 years old and they're curious. They're 10 years old and they're curious. They haven't hit puberty yet. They don't know anything about sexual pleasure, but they begin seeing these images and they begin relating it to sexuality early on. And touch is sort of out of the equation. Well, here's the truth about sex. Sex is not supposed to be a visual thing. It's supposed to have a visual component. Sure. Yeah, it's supposed to have a visual component, but it's also a lot about the way women smell. It's a lot about the way women feel. It's a lot about the way we feel, about the way we respond to touch and the feelings in our skin, the skin of our penis and the skin of our hands. But young guys who grew up with porn, they don't even understand this idea that the first sexual experience had nothing to do with women and nothing to do with visual imagery and nothing to do with pornography. They don't even get it. They have been programmed, imprinted, that visual is everything. Well, guess what? When you're having sex with a woman, you can't see her very well. In most positions, you certainly can't see the totality of her body in any position. And you can't see another man fucking her from any position, which is, you know, for a lot of guys, that's what does it. And they've literally trained themselves to not enjoy sex. And I'm not really sure where all this leads, but I do know this. A porn diet does work. And for a guy like Russell and many other guys, it's a question of what you value. And I think if you're a married guy, if you're in love with a woman and you really want to enjoy sex with her, you're going to need to cut pornography out of your life, probably for 60 days, and then bring it back only sparingly. And guys don't want to hear that. I know. I get it. I'm not the most popular guy in the world when I say that. We love our porn. But, you know, it's not that different from women that get addicted to vibrators and then men can't please them anymore. They just have to put the damn thing away for a while until they can regain normal sensation. And the way home for Russell is, first, probably cut pornography out. Second possibility is during masturbation with pornography, when he's really aroused, he's got to close the browser for a minute. And just in that moment of high arousal, just enjoy the feeling of touching himself. Just enjoy the sensations of touch without the visual stimulation, and try not to picture anything visual. Just dig the feelings. Just dig, like, wow, this feels good. Because getting back in touch with what it feels like on your cock versus what it looks like with your eyeballs will retrain you over time. And you can literally do this over and over. And of course, the other thing you can do is, if you have a girlfriend and you dig her, is the same way. During that moment of high arousal, just turn the monitor away and just imagine looking into her eyes while you continue to stimulate yourself. Just imagine looking into her eyes, see her smiling at you, and just dig that sensation of touching yourself, of feeling the sexual arousal while looking into her eyes and seeing her smile at you. Try doing that over and over and over again. Most guys who try this the first time, who have Russell's problem, will lose their erection incredibly quickly when they try this. And so it takes time. It's an exercise. It's something you do over and over and over again until you can maintain arousal just from the feelings of touch without imagery. or just from the image of her smiling face. And this is a very, very powerful thing. It's a very worthwhile thing, but it's not easy. It's like telling people, oh, you want to lose weight? Eat less. Go to the gym a lot. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear it, but that's the truth. I'm just telling the truth here. This is a problem a lot of men have, and a lot more men are going to have. And if this resonates with you, you just got to turn off the porn. You got to get out of the idea that sex is only a visual act. It's not. It's not. It's just, it's not that at all. We've just become completely artificial about it.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's heavy, and it's much to the detriment of women. I mean, it's a tough life for women out there right now.
Wow. Now, what about the opposite problem? You mentioned that you get 10 times as many emails on that. What can a guy do if he's got premature ejaculation? I mean, obviously, that doesn't mean he's not looking at enough porn, right?
Right.
There's got to be a different source to that problem, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite different. And that's usually going back to anxiety. A lot of men will tell me that my penis is much more sensitive than anybody else's penis, and that's why I have this problem. But that turns out not to be the case most of the time. Now, of course, the other thing is that the serotonin factor can be there. There are pills that have been designed now that have not passed FDA approval that deal with this specific issue, men that have low serotonin and therefore ejaculate quickly. And what they've discovered is, I'll kind of give you this whole thing, is that when people take the SSRIs, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, that they can last a little bit longer in bed. But generally, for a premature ejaculator who can last, say, 30 seconds, they end up lasting about 45 seconds as opposed to a placebo. So it has some effect, but is 15 seconds really what you need? So obviously, you know, the pills, and the reason the FDA didn't approve it is because the result was negligible, the side effects are massive. So I don't expect that that's the solution, and I don't think anybody should use serotonin as an excuse. The other factor, again, is men say, well, my penis is more sensitive than other men's. But when they use the numbing creams, that tends, again, to not give them very good results. So I believe, based on those observations, that really what it comes down to is anxiety and just the mental belief that you think that you're going to ejaculate. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the principles that you can use to last longer. But also, as I mentioned to you earlier, I prepared a free report. It's got five techniques, all of which work extremely well. These are techniques that I've talked about in my newsletter and had guys write back in and say, well, that was it. It was the miracle cure. Now, the same technique doesn't work for every guy. That's why I'm giving you five of them. And if you use each of these five, you will discover the one that works for you. And you may use them in combination, but they work. Scott, tell them where they can get that.
Yeah, we've got that going on for you at www.thechickwhisperer.com control, where you can download that, courtesy of Alex. Yeah, and there's a lot of guys out there who I'm sure are going to benefit from that and be ready to get those five tips that you have for them there. So outstanding stuff. Now, you know what we need to do? We need to go on to yet another voicemail. This time, we're hearing from Fred in Delaware, and here's what he's got to say.
Hey, this is Fred from Delaware. This message is for the Chick Whisperer podcast. My question is about knowing how to kiss a woman that's just going to make her completely turned on and completely crazy for you. And I don't mean, like, you know, techniques to know when it's right to kiss her. You know, like the hair test is great, triangular gazing into her eyes. We all know that. But when you're actually about to kiss her and you press your lips against hers, what is the way that you would kiss her that's going to make her never forget that kiss? Like in the movies. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You know, Alex, the kiss is kind of where all of this quote-unquote escalation starts, isn't it? You've got to know how to kiss a woman right. And like I say, kiss her correctly and kiss her often. What's the best way a guy can really ignite a woman with that kiss? Because I think the way you kiss really is, or the way she kisses too, actually, which is probably more important to us, is really a window into what a person's like in bed.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of women will tell you it's dancing that's the window, but let's call it the kiss for now. First, I'll lay out what I think is step-by-step the kind of kiss that women dig, and then I'll tell you the truth. So,
all right, lay it out for us, man.
So here's the step-by-step. One, be incredibly confident. Women really tune into your intention as much as your physical action. Your intention is such a powerful thing. And when you are hesitant and when you are nervous and you sort of bumble your way through the kiss, you might get cute points, but you're not really going to get her very excited. To really turn her on, the most important thing is that you've got enormous confidence. And so the result of that could be that you, you know, grab her, pull her hair back, and kiss her long, hard, and deep. But probably your most successful venture into this is to do a tease. So if you looked really, really intently into her eyes, and you didn't look away, unwavering, and then you leaned very, very slowly in and stopped and wait for her to come the rest of the way, and then gently begin kissing her with your lips, very, very soft, and then place your hand in the center of her chest and pull your head away so she can't follow you, smile at her, and then remove your hand so that she follows you back in for the kiss again, you will probably have won her over at that point. That's a James Bond kiss right there. That'll probably do the trick. Now I'll tell you the truth. The lips are like the clitoris. Every woman is different. And she's different from hour to hour. She's different from man to man. And she's different based on her mood. And to really, really kiss her right, you're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to be open to the possibility that just reciting a routine is not going to work for every woman. Verbally, physically, it's just not going to be the same for every woman. So, you know, that kiss I outlined, that's good stuff. I mean, that's going to work. But really, your best bet is to just vibe into how she's feeling and to how you're feeling. And if you're very confident, again, you have the intention, and you're feeling sexually confident. In other words, not just I'm confident that I'm a good guy, I'm confident that I'm a good ball player, but I'm confident about kissing this girl. I'm confident that she's going to want me. I'm confident that I can rock her world in bed. I'm confident that she wants to have sex with me. Even if we don't have sex right now, even if she denies me and says no, it's because she's trying to be a good girl, but she wants me. If you can kind of get to that level in your head, and you have that intention behind your kiss, and you can tease her a little bit, and you can be sweet about it, and not dominant about it, but sweet about it, to say that I know that she's going to enjoy this tease. And then explore it, see how she feels, see how she's responding. Because there's so much you can do with kissing. You know, you can just lightly brush your lips against her lips. You can suck one of her lips into your mouth, the upper, the lower. You can give her an open mouth kiss. You can breathe into her mouth. You can run your tongue along her teeth. You can run your tongue along her tongue. There's so much you can do. You can nibble on her. There's just an endless, you can trace her lip with your tongue, with the tip of your tongue, which, you know, may tickle her, may arouse her. And just really pay attention to what's going on.
And that's way beyond don't stick your tongue down her throat or drool on her. You got to love that, Fred. You just got the whole breakdown. I would add to that that, you know, I like tracing her face from top to bottom over her nose and watching her bite your finger when you get down to the bottom. I mean, that's when you know you get a tiger. I like the Eskimos kisses, you know, while you're kissing her. I think that's kind of playful. And then there's something about a kiss on the forehead that just builds her comfort level. Some of the guys who are into Eastern religion claim that's where a chakra is or whatever. But I just know for a fact that when you kiss a woman on the forehead, you know, maybe after you've done kissing her, you just kiss her on the forehead at the very end. She just gets this warm feeling in her body. It's amazing.
Yeah. Let me just hammer that home because Scott, your instinct is so right on. After you're done kissing her, the kiss on the forehead is fantastic.
Oh yeah.
If you're using that instead of kissing her on the lips, you just firmly planted yourself into weird guy with no confidence who will probably end up just friends. But if
or
you,
intentionally just befriending her. That's the way to do it. Women right. will kiss you on the forehead after they put you in the just befriend zone.
Right.
Definitely.
Right. But if you give her a really warm, delicious sexual kiss, stroke the hair away from her temple and then kiss her on the forehead and then kiss her again, man, you have just built something there. You've definitely connected with her on a lot of different levels, built a lot of comfort, made her feel very aroused. It's a lot of stuff going on there when you can do that.
Man, talking about throwing candy at the parade, guys, that was a takeaway right there. If you don't hear anything else from this entire podcast, if you kiss a woman on the forehead every time you kiss her passionately, you're going to just start melting women like ice cubes in Yuma, Arizona in August. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be pandemonium.
Pandemonium.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of this podcast. We're running out of time. But you know what, Alex? I want to tell these guys where they can get your book, Revolutionary Sex, because I tell you what, it's probably one of the most popular items I've ever told the guys who are listeners about to Virtuosity or the guys on my list. It just seems like everybody wants a piece of your book, and it's for good reason. You're very practical. You tell guys how they can start succeeding in the bedroom with women right now. Obviously, we're talking about not just getting some, but taking care of the women in our lives. And you guys know how I talk about this. You know how I talk about igniting femininity instead of just trying to get some, and how that opens up this magical world. You've already figured out that this Alex Allman guy is on board with that. I would recommend you go to this URL. It's painfully easy. thechickwhisperer.com/sex. thechickwhisperer.com/sex. Alex is not charging enough for this book. You ought to go get your grubby mitts on it and start pleasing the women in your life, because it'll be the best. How much is it? $27?
No, it's less. It's only 20 bucks.
20 bucks. I mean, the last bad Starbucks date you went on that didn't go anywhere, you just basically wiped that out, and this will give you lifelong benefits. So, Alex, that's just absolutely excellent stuff. Thanks a million.
Yeah, let me just add that there's a free newsletter. If 20 bucks for some odd reason is more than you can afford, and I know there are some young guys out there that listen to this stuff, and you know, maybe they don't have a credit card, get the free newsletter. There's a lot of great stuff in there. Obviously, I want you to buy my book, but I'd rather you get the free newsletter than just keep fumbling along with stuff you don't understand and maybe losing the opportunity to have that great relationship with a woman and allowing her to have that great relationship with you. And it really would be my pleasure if I could help you on that journey.
Outstanding stuff. Along those lines, guys, lots of you have been telling me that you wanted more on relationship management out of me. You know where I stand in life. You know what I've got going on. And you guys were saying, hey, look, you know what? We hear about pickup from every other guy in the world. Everybody's got a twist on how to pick up women. Well, what happens afterwards? How do I keep these women in my life if I actually like them? How do I get the greatest woman I've ever met to actually be attracted to me? How do I identify those women is on the forefront of your mind. How to keep them attracted is also right there. So what I've done is I put together something that I call the leading man. It's not available yet. If you're listening to this podcast right when it came out and it's before September 13th, it's unobtainium to you right now. But what you want to do is you want to go to the following URL. That's www.the-leading-man.com. Like theleadingman.com with dashes in between. There you're going to find a video and a chance to log into the next part of the site. When you get on that particular mailing list, I'm going to be sending you a lot of free stuff having to do with relationship management, which is what this is all about. And when you get to that next page, I've got 4 free videos for you. They're not very long, but they're action-packed, and they're going to tell you exactly what you can do right now to start strengthening those relationships in your life, enthralling women, not just for a few minutes, not just till you can get her phone number, but for as long as you choose. Because, guys, pick up last 10, 20 minutes. Relationship management is forever. The name of the program is The Leading Man. Go get the freebies right now. Go make sure you're on that list so you can get all the great stuff I'm going to be putting in your inbox over the next week or two if you happen to be listening to this before September 13th. And we're looking forward to something really, really special there that you guys have never seen before, certainly in the seduction community. I've been putting my heart and soul into this, so go check it out once again at www.the-leading-man.com. I'll tell you what, if you guys would like to get in with a voicemail, you want to call this number. You can call it worldwide. It's +1 if you're outside the continental United States, 210-362-4400. That's our voicemail only line. Nobody ever answers it. You'll be greeted with a message that tells you exactly what you need to do to get on the show with your voicemail. Once again, that's 1-210-362-4400. Keep your messages brief. Give us a question that will be of benefit to all the listeners on this show. And what you will get in return is you're going to get something very, very cool. And Alex, what do you got for the guys today who were kind enough to ask their questions here on the Chick Whisperer program?
I will send them a copy of Revolutionary Sex, which is that ebook that, as you pointed out, is grossly underpriced at 20 bucks.
Outstanding. There you go, guys. That's what happens when you send us a great voicemail that we can use on the show. You get rewarded, well, I think richly. I think the value is much higher than just a mere $20. So thanks again, Alex, for joining us today, man. This has been incredibly fun and just some deep stuff that you just don't hear every day. And I think it's really going to help guys at a very real world level.
Thanks, Scott. You know, I always enjoy talking to you, pal.
All right, man. We'll see you again next time soon. Until then, be good.
If you can't be good, be careful.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2008 by the X and Y Communications Worldwide Media Casting Network. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.